So when we look at clients, when we look at training programs, and we look at teaching someone how to eat and train for the rest of their life, because those are the fundamental tools and skills that they're going to need, I don't view those types of boot camp style classes as being something that's very sustainable for most people for very long.
Welcome to the show where we help you make smart nutrition simple. If you want proven nutrition strategies to help you build a better body and create the energy to show up for your family without overly restrictive and unrealistic dieting, then you're in the right place. Make sure to subscribe and enjoy this episode.
Yo, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. I am your host, Ben Brown, owner and head coach here at Body Systems. If this is your first episode listening, welcome. I am thrilled to have you and excited to hopefully drop some value into your lap. If you have been listening for any extended period of time, perhaps even from the beginning, because we're getting close to, I think 5 or 6 years and almost 250 episodes, well, I can't tell you how grateful I am to be able to have you along for the ride. Hopefully, I've been able to provide a good amount of value along the way. And more important than value is application. I hope I've been able to help you digest, absorb some of these principles and apply them into your life for the better. And so I'm excited to have you here for another Q&A episode. In today's episode, we are discussing whether strength training exercises need to be fancy in order to be effective. I talk about if there are essential exercises that everyone should be doing, and I address the issue of why I often criticize popular workout modalities like Orange Theory, like CrossFit, F45 and all of these boot camp style classes. And I also talk about how we handle situations where clients may not be seeing the desired results despite cutting their calories low. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. And again, I hope you enjoy this episode. So the question is, should strength training exercises be boring, and or do we need fancy exercises to confuse our muscles? The reality is that I think the strength training exercises, they are what you make of them. And while strength training doesn't necessarily need to be boring, it also doesn't and probably shouldn't be overly exciting or special or, have to do with these fancy circus style exercises that are new and different every single session. What we know about strength training is that stimulus creates adaptation. And in order to effectively apply stimulus, oftentimes we need to do the same exercises over and over and over again to create said adaptation. And there are certain exercises and certain amounts of volume that need to be applied to create that stimulus and therefore create the adaptation. And when we do things and feel like we need to do new and exciting things in order to get some degree of muscle confusion is when we actually stop getting results. Now, like the old P90X adage of muscle confusion, for someone who's never exercised before, they're going to get a massive benefit to literally doing anything. So the fact that they are, doing new and different exercises, they're challenging themselves and through body weight exercises, through pushing, through pulling, through lunging, through squatting, and even just with body weight, like, yes, they're going to get a massive change, but that's going to be only for a certain period of time, after which we need to apply what's called progressive overload. And progressive overload, as the name implies, is just progressively increasing the amount of stimulus, whether that's weight, whether that's reps, whether that's time under tension, to create that adaptation. So I think for most people, they should look for some aspect of boring in their training while still making sure that they're actually progressing from week to week. And if they can truly embrace that, then they're very likely to be making the progress that they're looking for, which should bring them the excitement and the challenge that they actually want. I think most people that train for a long period of time, that want to train for a long period of time, that find value in training, that benefit from training, end up doing the same exercises over and over again in some capacity. Now, there's always adjustments, progressions, regressions, and small changes that we can make to the Big Bang exercise. So everyone should squat, everyone should deadlift, everyone should do hip hinging exercises, everyone should do pushing and pulling and lunging exercises in some way, shape, or form, but there's hundreds of different exercises that we can apply to those primal movement patterns, which is what's so cool about strength training. So I can take one of those primal movement patterns and give you 10 different exercises that will apply to that range of motion, to the muscle groups that we're trying to stimulate. That's where the novelty can come into play, is I can give you 10 different squat variations. And it could even be the exact same exercise, but we can change the tempo, which changes the time under tension. We can change, the rep scheme. We can change the load. We can change the intensification parameters around how we're performing the exercise or what the set scheme looks like. And that's where seasoned trainers and trainees find the value, find the adaptation, is by not looking at new and different things. Like, I'm not going to go from conventional strength training, feel like I'm not making progress anymore, and then go do CrossFit, or then go do F45, or then go do Orange Theory, or then go do spin classes. Like, that wouldn't make any sense. Instead would be, how can I create adaptation through different progressions of exercises? Like, if I'm no longer getting benefit from doing 6 to 8 reps of barbell back squat, well, then I can start doing front squats. I can start doing cambered bar squats. I can do safety bar squats. I can do heel elevated squats. I can omit the squat and start doing single leg squats for a 12 to 16 week block to help identify and isolate some imbalances. Right? So we can do that with every single exercise, to the point where you never really would get bored, because there's so much variety and possibility. I don't think that there's any particular exercises that you have to do. It's all contingent on what you want to accomplish. And for those of us that want to be stronger, want to be leaner, want to have better body composition, then we need to stimulate the appropriate muscle fibers. And so we also don't want to get injured. We also want to be quote unquote functional, and be able to go through and accomplish every day, activities of daily living. So I want to be able to run around and throw the ball with my kids and play pickup sports and go water skiing and climb mountains and snowboard and do the things that I want to do, which is all relegated to my body's ability to be functionally strong. And so we know that in order to stimulate the muscle fibers to not just look good with your shirt off, but also to perform and maintain some lean muscle mass, some flexibility and mobility over our lifetime, well, then it's likely in our best interest to practice these motions, especially under load, which then lends itself back to like the primal movement patterns that I said. I mean, every day we should be squatting, we should be bending, we should be lunging, we should be hinging, we should be pushing and pulling. And by strengthening those and focusing on those movements through our strength training process, we're getting a direct correlation to, of course, carrying over to, again, the the activities of daily living that we want to be performing for the rest of our life. Again, to say nothing of like, just, I just want to look good with my shirt off, which is cool too. So the question was, there's a lot of people that get great results or are very happy with their Orange Theory or their F45 or whatever the bootcamp style classes might be. I tend to speak negatively towards those. And the reason I do is because most people don't get good results, in my opinion, with those types of classes. The reason why most people, in my opinion, don't get great results with those types of classes is because there is a tipping point, there's a dose response, and there's a point where the level of stimulus ceases to create the adaptation that we're looking for. You can't just add more and more stimulus. We can't just beat the body harder, do more work, or potentially eat less calories. Like, that is a finite timeline. And because there's very little programming methodology around how someone's going to continue to progress under that training methodology. So when we look at clients, when we look at training programs, and we look at teaching someone how to eat and train for the rest of their life, because those are the fundamental tools and skills that they're going to need, I don't view those types of bootcamp style classes as being something that's very sustainable for most people for very long, because of the nature of the exercises and how conducive they are to developing overuse injuries with poor form, developing injuries, to say nothing of the fact that, again, with progressive overload, there is going to be a time where they stop making progress. They stop getting faster. They stop getting stronger. They stop getting leaner. And it almost could be detrimental because of the stress induced from those types of exercises. Globally, it's like, listen, we all have these stressors that we deal with on a daily basis. Exercise is a beautiful thing, but it's also a stressor. And for those of us that, as we get older, you know, I'm 44, almost 45, a lot of the clients that we work with, the number one principle that we want to employ with them and respect with them is, first and foremost, do no harm. Like, we need to create an environment where they're going to be able to get healthy and stay healthy and train in a way that's going to support that for them. And again, it's my experience and my opinion that those types of training methodologies are not conducive towards long-term joint health, nor are they conducive towards long-term effective stress management, because they are so intense. Oftentimes it adds more to an already overflowing plate, which can exacerbate hunger, affect mood, sleep, just again, with joint health, injuries, potential injuries. And I view that as problematic, because I don't think that then we're teaching someone how to develop these skills for life. At what point is it too low to drop calories? And what do we do when clients are not seeing the results that they could or should or would like to be seeing despite calories being low? And it's a very seemingly complex question, because in my experience, most people don't actually drop calories that low for that long consistently. Despite their best efforts or their perception that they may be eating in some caloric deficit or eating at 1,000 or 1,200 or 1,800 calories or whatever it is that they think they're doing, if things aren't changing, then they're probably not actually doing what they think they're doing. And it's a hard pill to swallow for people, but it's also just the reality of things. Like, we are not in a situation where we're all walking around metabolically deranged and damaged. Like, we don't have broken metabolisms, but the body does what it does for very specific reasons. And if you're in a situation where you feel like you're eating healthier, you're doing all the right things, but one, you're not accurately or even tracking your calorie intake, then you can't say you're in a calorie deficit because you just don't know. And that's okay. But that's why we have clients track their calorie intake. And even when we have clients tracking their calorie intake, but they're not tracking consistently, then we can't make the assumption that they actually are in the calorie deficit that we're trying to create. If it's Monday through Thursday, they hit their calorie numbers and then they're shoddy tracking, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, well, you know, we can assume, and usually this is corroborated through communication, that they're overeating, they're overdrinking, and they're swinging the scale the complete opposite direction through their weekend behaviors, through lack of structure, through lack of strategy, through lack of planning, through poor commitments. And that's really the nature of the beast with most people that are not seeing the results that they want to see. So certainly the aspect of we're not actually creating the calorie deficit that we think we are creating. Second to that is if we are tracking calories, we may not be tracking accurately or consistently enough to actually reinforce the deficit that we're trying to create. And if under, you know, the strange circumstances, the finite circumstances where someone might be eating what is perceived to be a very low calorie intake and they're not seeing change, it would beg the question of kind of what might we be missing in the process? Might we be missing snacking? We call these BLTs, so bites, licks, tastes, and sips, right? So they're snacking throughout the day. They're taking random bites of their kids' foods. They're sipping off people's drinks. It might not be acknowledged. They might be eating a bunch of junk food that's making up the majority of their calorie intake, which might be negatively affecting them. Like typically the things that we're looking at is first controlling for calories. Next, are they hitting their protein intake? Next, what's their micronutrient intake look like? So the quality of their foods that they're consuming. Next, looking at their meal timing. And I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is also just kind of paying attention to overall stress levels. And understanding that high levels of stress are also not conducive towards fat loss, while it's not something like your stress is not necessarily keeping you fat, it's the stress that's contributing to other behaviors that might contribute to alcohol intake, snacking, and maybe some unrecognized things. You might even be under-eating to the degree that you're also not moving as much as you were moving before. Because we see this metabolic compensation or this compensatory mechanism at play whereby, and this is very substantiated in the research, where it's like, hey, if I'm underfeeding someone, then their body's natural response is to downregulate and say, well, because we're not getting very many calories, we're going to go out of our way to just slow things down. Our brain function goes down, our speed of talking, our NEAT, our non-exercise activity thermogenesis, just our random movements and daily movements start to dissipate. So we're more likely to sit on the couch, more likely to feel more lethargic. We're more likely to have more cravings and experience more hunger to the degree that we might be more likely to snack and make up for the calories that we've created through that deficit, which is something that most people don't realize, which is also why it's really important that we don't keep people in very low calorie deficits for very long. Well, there you have it. That's it for this episode of the Smart Nutrition Made Simple show. If you have questions that you'd like us to tackle in an upcoming episode, then we can't wait to hear from you. So you can submit your questions directly by just messaging us on our social media. That's at Body Systems Coaching. Or you can just message me personally, ben@bodysystems.com. Appreciate you guys listening, and I will catch you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening, and if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you in your nutrition journey for free. 1. Grab a free copy of my Fat Loss Fix Guide at fatlossfixguide.com. 2. Join my free group at smartnutritionmadesimple.com. 3. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at smartnutritionmadesimpletv.com. 4. Leave a 5-star rating and positive review so that we can gain access to more nutrition experts ready to share their knowledge with you and ultimately help more people make smart nutrition simple.